Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On the hotline is John Clayton. Always a pleasure to talk to Braddock's own. How are you, John?
I'm good, Chris. How are you?
Doing well, and I'll tell you what, where I wanted to start, where it was a familiar place for our discussions during the actual season and even immediately after the season, and that was with Mike Tomlin and your comparison of him maybe to Pete Carroll and the way Pete Carroll sort of got back control of that Seahawks team where just some of the guys were sent packing, frankly, the players. I opened the show today discussing Mike Tomlin. Chris Carter went on Fox Sports and really ripped into him as far as the press conference Mike Tomlin versus behind closed doors. And most of the listeners today, John, have said that they don't think it's going to be very easy, if at all possible, for Mike Tomlin to sort of change his way and become more of a disciplinarian. Do you agree with that, or do you think he can still sort of do things differently and have it take with this team moving forward?
Yeah, I think he can. I think he can do it because I think one, he's a good communicator with players, same way as Pete Carroll, and secondly, now you've got some of the animosity that's out of the locker room. I mean, I was a little surprised that Jesse James, you know, took a shot, but you can see, and I watched it evolve here in Seattle, which was a great locker room, turn into a frictional type of locker room, and obviously, you know, Le'Veon Bell had his own agenda, Antonio Brown had his own agenda, and you know, at least Mike Tomlin let him do that, and of course, you know, they kept on scraping with Ben Roethlisberger, but now I think everybody realizes with Antonio gone, you better listen to Ben because Ben is the boss. And, you know, he's trying to get this team back to the Super Bowl. And maybe Ben doesn't handle everything great. But I think that with guidance from Mike and the cleaner type of locker room as far as emotions and all that stuff, I think that Juju seems to be fully on board. I think the rest of the skill players are fully on board. And so I think that that can do better. It's not as talented of a team when you take away two stars like that. But I watched the less talented Seattle team rebound and get to 8 wins. As long as you have the quarterback, and as long as you have the running game, and as long as you have a defense that can hold teams under 23 points, then the worst you're going to do is 8 or 9 wins. Then it's up to the next thing to get the chemistry right to get it better.
John, as you look, it's obvious they need help at inside linebacker on defense. A nice gesture with Ryan Shazier that they're keeping him, you know, around the team still. But they need help at that position, and really both in terms of frontline starting talent, impact talent, and depth. Do you believe, as you've started to maybe preliminarily look at the draft and where they're picking, that they will have one of the two Devins available to them when they pick at 20, if they pick at 20?
Yeah, I mean, I think they'll get Devin Bush. And the fact that they went out, and that surprised me a little bit, that they were able to get Steve Nelson. Now they paid $8.5 million. So that means, you know, it takes me out of the idea for my mock drafts of the future. I'm going to give them a cornerback because now they're covered at the cornerback position. So that, I think, gives them every opportunity right now to get it. Because I still look at the first Devin to go at 11 to Cincinnati, but I think two Devins are going to be there. So I think at 20 they can get Devin Bush.
What did you make of Steven Nelson? Because I've had a couple people say, I had a radio host in Kansas City come on 2 days ago and say he was just a guy for that defense and didn't really speak all that highly of his abilities, just kind of said he's an average player at best. I haven't heard maybe what I would say, John, are earth-shatteringly positive things about him.
I covered 5 games live of the Chiefs last year, and I didn't think he had a good season. Of course, I don't know of anybody in the secondary that had a good season there. But, yeah, I think he either played average or below average, but he is a talent. And now maybe getting in a different scheme. Now, remember, I mean, things were kind of frictional there because, you know, I don't know, with Bob Sutton coaching, if he had a great year coaching, he probably didn't. Because all they really had, and that's why I'm kind of baffled at what they're doing right now, the big thing that they had was 3 pass rushers. Well, they just got rid of 2. You know, D. Ford got traded to San Francisco. You know, they ended up cutting Justin Houston. And so now they have Chris Jones left. And, of course, they did this for cap purposes because they've got to try to do a Tyreek Hill deal. And they've got to try to look at some of the young players that they have, give Chris Jones a contract extension. So they cleaned that up. And that's why they weren't going to match anything that was big. But I thought Steve had an average year to below average year. But, again, how much of that is a scheme? How much of that is that? Because I know that one of the reasons that they had problems the year before is that you had guys that just didn't buy into the scheme, And one guy got traded to the Los Angeles Rams.
The Hall of Famer John Clayton, his weekly visit, of course, right now with the PM team. John, Dante Moncrief, I feel a little bit better about, but if I were going by last year's statistics, I would not feel good because it was the Blake Bortles Jaguars. But it seems, and I want your opinion on this one, it seems that maybe with a better quarterback, this is a guy with the size and the speed that could actually make some things happen here.
Well, the number I need to see, because I haven't seen it yet, and I'm constantly putting it in my database, is what the number he got for a contract. Because at $9.6 million last year on a one-year deal, I thought that was one of the worst contracts in the league as far as free agency, because I did not think that was going to work at 9.6. But let's say they got him for five or something of that nature, then I think it's a good signing because he does have talent. And again, and that's one of the problems now in free agency, because free agency is so overwrought, because you're over. What's happening now is that you're paying for guys that are into their second contracts for the most part, and you don't know why the team didn't re-sign them or why they couldn't re-sign them. And again, like one of these reasons the Colts didn't keep them, even though they needed receiving help, is that they weren't going to go to 9.6. But now you get the guy at 9.6, and it doesn't work out. And so you don't have a chance when you get the initial wave of free agency to really do it. I counted up before the start of free agency at 4 o'clock on Wednesday, 49 deals were done. These were all by phone. You didn't know what the player was or wasn't unless you met him before, but you don't have the chance to work him out. You don't have a chance to see him. You're kind of doing this blindly, and that's why there's a lot of mistakes. I mean, so much so, if you go back to the 2016 free agency class, only, of the 49 top players that signed, there's only 16 left. And so if you do a one-year deal, then you're in better shape. But I need to see the number. But I think if he's at the right number, it's a good signing.
What is your impression of the idea, that the sort of theory that's been floated, John, that now that Antonio Brown is gone, with everyone acknowledging what his talent is, that Ben Roethlisberger might actually be better because there won't be maybe the, not temptation's not the right word, but the feeling like the seeming obligation to force the ball to him sometimes to get him his targets?
Yeah, I think that has a chance to improve. Now, obviously, when you take away a talent like Antonio Brown, it's not going to be as good, but I think it could be as effective because, again, as long as you get the running game going, and I think that that Juju has now evolved to be a star, and that this team is the best team in football as far as drafting wide receivers, I think it could be better. And again, I still go back to Seattle because Seattle was not as talented of a team as they were the previous year, but they won more games, they went to the playoffs, and they had a better feeling about themselves. I mean, sometimes, and again, the key is as long as you have the quarterback, and they have the quarterback. And that's going to be the interesting thing because Larry Fitzgerald tried to lecture and warn Antonio Brown, okay, you're not going to find a quarterback to go to in the next team that's going to be good as Ben Roethlisberger. So watch sometimes if you want to go someplace, because what happens, for example, if Antonio then finds out that John Gruden really does like Kyler Murray, and he trades to move up, and he gives Derek Carr to the Arizona Cardinals. How do you think he's going to be with a rookie quarterback who's 5'10"? Not good.
Even with those guys having thrown together in the offseason, they had that little staged session, it looked like. Murray throwing to Antonio Brown briefly.
Yeah, but again, a rookie quarterback, what's the expectations? I know Baker Mayfield exceeded expectations last year, but for the most part, what you're looking for, and again, I think Kyler Murray is going to be a great quarterback, but it's hard to do it that first year. And so, you figure that like most of the guys are going to complete 55% of the passes. They're going to throw more interceptions and touchdown passes. And that means his 100 catch season is probably going to be 75 to 80. And he probably won't like that. If he wants the ball as much as he does, is he going to like, running the foot, having the running game, and then all of a sudden, getting, four passes a game as opposed to six or seven? Probably not.
John, what's a happy medium for the Steelers and Ben Roethlisberger in terms of a contract, in your opinion?
I think if Ben is fair, he'll try to keep it around 27 to 28. If he wants to be nice, he can maybe keep it to 25 like Drew Brees. But I think somewhere, he could take it to 30, but because he's older, I think that he may give a little bit of a hometown discount. I mean, if you look in the big picture, I mean, he should be able to top, because I'm figuring that Dak Prescott's going to get 27.5 or 28. But Ben's won many more games in the playoffs than the one game that Dak got or the zero games that Matt Stafford. So, 28, could work. 25 may fit the cap better. Maybe they cut it and do it at 26.5.
What's your favorite move, or you think the best move and the worst move that's been made by any team in free agency thus far, trade or otherwise, or signing?
Right now, I think the Cleveland Browns have moved to the top of the division. And believe me, I'm the last guy to say that because I probably ripped the Browns more than anybody else over the last decade and a half. But to think that they made a steal, I think, on the Odell Beckham, Olivier Vernon deal. I mean, because, yeah, they gave up a Pro Bowl guard and they gave up a young safety, but now they get a pass rusher who can get him more than 10 sacks. You put him next to Sheldon Richardson at defensive tackle, who's a Pro Bowl talent, and then you get Odell Beckham with Jarvis Landry and the fact that they're two LSU teammates who have the LSU wide receiver coach there. To me, that's sensational. I mean, John Dorsey right now is, I think, up in the early stages for the executive of the year.
Kareem Hunt's suspension, 8 games, do you think is that the right number? Is that what you expected for him?
Well, what I liked out of this is that, and I still make this prediction, that there's going to be a collective bargaining agreement this year. Well, what they ended up doing on this 8-game suspension is that they went to the agent, they went to the attorney, and they went to Kareem Hunt, and they negotiated it. So this is one that he thought was fair enough that he was willing to accept. And this may now be the new procedure that the league will try to do. Now, if they can't get an agreement, then they'll have to, give a decision by somebody. But it looks like there's more cooperation going. So is it fair? Apparently, Kareem Hunt thought it was fair.
You said the Browns top of the heap in terms of the moves they've made. Does that also put them as the team right now that you would pick to win the AFC North? Because a lot of people want to say that, but are saying, it's the Browns, I got to see it.
Well, it's funny because I'm saying it now, and again, we'll have to see how the rest of the division does as far as talent acquisition. I say this now knowing that they're down 2 Pro Bowl players on offense and no Mike Munchak. I say that knowing that the Ravens, they've lost 5 starters from their defense. That's concerning. They're going to go with a young quarterback, and they're down 2 wide receivers. And the Bengals, we still haven't figured out. So I think they have moved to the top of the division. And again, and I say that, and then people will say, you think they're going to go to the Super Bowl? I say, no, this is the Browns. They're not going to the Super Bowl.
I mean, I'm starting to wonder if maybe 5 games into the season, we're all going to be saying, the Browns might actually be able to go to the Super Bowl. It feels like things are lining up there. Lastly, John, I'll ask you this. Did you think Le'Veon Bell was going to get about what he got guaranteed, less than this or more than this?
He got exactly what I thought he was going to get. I mean, I knew he wasn't going to get above Todd Gurley. I didn't think he was going to get beat up this bad because when you really look at the deal, it's basically a 2-year deal at 26. And the fact that he only got $8 million to sign, that surprised me. That was a little bit lower than I thought. But I thought he was going to be on a little bit of a discount because, again, they question his, where his heart is on some of the things. There was a disagreement, I think, internally of whether to do that. And then basically they waited him out, and they could wait him out because his market really wasn't there. It was the Jets and a bunch of window dressers trying to look at things and try to say, maybe they were window shopping more than anything else. The Jets were the only team really in there, and they waited him out, and they got him for much less, and he's never going to make up that $14.5 million. And then the other thing is that the Steelers' last offer, he got $5 million less the first year and $7 million less the second year.
Should he fire his agent? Because I'm not saying that even just because of the contract, but because he told Jeremy Fowler, of ESPN, that he intended to sign in play in week 7, and then he realized he didn't have to accrue a year towards free agency and be able to get out of here. How does his agent, Adisa Bakari, not know that at that point?
Well, first off, remember, his agent 2 years ago recommended he take the deal, and it was a good deal then, because it was going to be better than the franchise numbers. So I don't think the agent needed to be fired. I think that he needs to fire himself as an advisor to the agent, because I think that's where he made the mistake. And, for this year, the reason I heard that he didn't want to come in for the last 6 games was because he was too fat, and he didn't want to try to damage his value by going out there being whatever weight he was and not performing well. So that's another reason why I heard, and this is what I heard, I don't know how valid it is, that he didn't come in for the last 6 games. And so, because he was thinking it was going to hold down his value, what held down his value was the fact that his market kind of dried up on him, except for the Jets.
John, I'll let you go with this. It was happy league new year after legal tampering period. I know the NFL's primacy in American sports has been the case for a while. Are you even amazed at the degree to which this particular league dominates the news cycle 365 days a year? Because even working in this business, I kind of am.
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, before the start of free agency, more than 50 deals were done, you know, like a 48 or 49. We're already at about 88 deals being done. And, you know, I'm not looking at my iPhone or my cell phone here in the last 10 minutes, and I'm sure two or three more got done. But it's an amazing pace, but it's fun. I mean, you know, if you're in Buffalo, they've had a very good offseason. I mean, look what they did. Three wide receivers, four offensive linemen, a tight end, and they got Kevin Johnson, a former first-round cornerback, on the cheap. I mean, in Detroit, I mean, they got to feel good about what they're doing there. Oakland, not too good. Overpaid. But, no, I think it's fun because, again, this is action, and we're getting all kind of transactions.
Braddock's own, Duquesne's own, the legendary John Clayton. Pleasure as always, John. Thanks.
Thanks, Chris.
Lot there. Fire himself as his advisor to his agent. Didn't want to come back because he was too fat. And Kareem Hunt, that's an interesting little wrinkle there that it was basically hashed out with his lawyer that the player felt that this was all fair. They bargained the suspension. All very interesting.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.